Well, first I wanted to say thank you for sending me to Singapore. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. It was very, very encouraging, very exciting. And I'll give you more details on that, I think, when we're going to put together a little video clip. But Courtney and Austin aren't here. Her grandfather died, and they've spent the weekend up in Milwaukee, and she's very close to her grandpa. So you guys just love on her when she gets back. But we're going to put together a video clip, and it'll tell it all. But it was an amazing time. The people are just so sweet and receptive. And we filled every seat in the house, and it was exciting. So I'm going to talk to you about the book of Hebrews. And we're going to start in verse 1, chapter 1. And just the first three verses is what I'm looking at there. From there, we've got a lot of other stuff. But I believe this is the direction God has for us today. Amen. He's so good. So Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Now, prophets are still used today, but in Old Testament times, when communication was cut off between God and man because of sin, before he redeemed us and brought the Holy Spirit, God anointed only the prophets, priests, and kings. So the anointing would come through them, and they would speak on behalf of God to the people. Well, aren't you glad that we've been redeemed and that we can communicate with God once again? And we don't have to wait for a man to come and tell us what God has to say, but he's given us his word, and he's given us his spirit, and the precious spirit of our God dwells on the inside of us, that we would hear him, that we would know him, that he'd lead and direct us every step that we take. Amen. That we're not going to miss anything that God has for us. If we're sensitive to the Spirit of God at all, he's speaking to us continuously. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us on a regular basis, and he wants to make himself known. He's not playing a game with us. We hear God more often than we think. Amen. Amen. Are you guys here today? Good, good. Help me out here. So we're in a different day now. And it says that the last days he's speaking to us by his son. Amen. And John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus was the spoken word that came forth. In Genesis 1, it talks about creation, where he began to speak things forth. Amen. He said, "Let there be light." From that point on, all of creation began. Everything began by those words. Amen. So God is revealing himself through his word and through his son, through his love, through his example, through his sacrifice, through everything he is, everything he's been to us. He's speaking to us. We need to meditate sometimes on what he has done. Sometimes we're familiar with what he's done, and we just kind of let it go. But we need to embrace what he's done. And we need to meditate on those things, because his love is displayed in the life that he lived and that he laid down for us. He's given his all for you and for me. He's not withheld anything from us. He gave it all. All. Amen. The biggest sacrifice for him was not that he suffered and died in his body, but that he was separated from God the Father. That there was a severance at that point in time when he took all that sin on. before his blood was poured out, there was a severance in their relationship because he couldn't embrace sin. What an example. He says, you're worth it. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to pay for your sin. I'm going to set you free. Amen. But sometimes we just, we're going to heaven, we're good. And we don't even think about what he's done for us. We need to meditate. I mean, bring to the forefront of your heart. Where we're talking about Phil and Gary and Todd. Boing. And Mike, they went to that meeting and they were blessed. And what is the simplicity of the truth of the meeting? But meditating and practicing the presence of God. Becoming more God conscious, more aware of who he is and what he's done. That, you know, the thing with Brother Lawrence is he started out. He just wanted to know God every day. And then every so many hours, and then every so many minutes, and then I don't want a second to go by, that I'm not aware of your presence, not aware, not consciously. I want to be aware every minute. What a goal, huh? Well, what happens when we are? What happens when you're aware that God's with you? There's a confidence that builds up in us, isn't there? There's a strength that rises up in us. There's a peace that goes with us. Everything that God is, everything he has done, he's done for us. And he speaks to us continually through his word and through his example to us. And we need to just stop and look and see what that is. Now, he speaks to us in the last days by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. An heir is a person that is legally entitled to property or rank when someone dies. Well, Jesus paid the price. He paid, and he gave what was entitled, and he gave his rank away. We're joint heirs with Christ. Correct? So that means what he inherited or received because of the blood that was shed, we received as well, together with him. And we're sons of the Most High God. Amen. Sons and daughters. We're together with him in this. Amen. See, there's something that I think that we're missing a little bit, and that is who we are in Christ. We need to grab a better concept of what that is, what that means to us. We will be walking on the mountaintops, I'm telling you. We'll be skipping over them. Amen? Because when we really, 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 really grab hold of what we've been given, what our inheritance has been for us, we're not going to be down here groveling and just barely getting by. Yeah, and it doesn't mean that things won't hit you from time to time. But what happens when they hit you? We look up. Amen. We immediately know where our help is from, our God. And our God within is going to be speaking and revealing and guiding and directing our steps into truth, into righteousness, into everything that he's provided for those that walk uprightly. He's withheld nothing from us. He's given it all unto us. It belongs to us. Amen? It's rightfully ours. We don't have to beg and plead. He's delivered it already unto us. Aren't you thankful? What a great salvation. Not just a barely get by salvation. When I was first saved, I was going to heaven. Hallelujah. It was a far cry from where I was headed, I'm telling you. But that's all I knew. When I get to heaven, I'll be with Jesus. I didn't know what I had here on this earth, that I could walk in victory, that I could walk in peace, that I'd have the wisdom of God, that I'd have his help at every time that I had need of it. I didn't know that. I didn't know how intimate he could be with me. I didn't understand those things. So I just kind of looked ahead to the future, to when I get to heaven. And that was a good picture. But we can have victory over every circumstance we face in this life, here and now. I don't know about you, but I think that's good news. He's paid it. He's delivered it. He's given it to us. So he has appointed heir of all things, throughout whom he also made the worlds, which we already said, he spoke them into existence. Let there be light. Amen. Well, I know we've shared that in the past, but it's just a quick 2-minute science class. There's protons, electrons, and neutrons, and they make up what?
An atom.
Everything is made up of atoms, right? But what makes up the proton, electron, and neutron?
Quarks.
It's a quark. A quark is a sound wave of light. When it was spoken out, let there be light, everything in existence began. Because the sun, the moon, the stars, the sources of what we know as light, weren't made then. It was later. Amen? I love when science proves the word of God. I just think that's the greatest thing. But that it was spoken forth. It was brought forth by words. And he's given us words. He's given us his word. And when we're in agreement with the word of God and we begin to speak forth what the word of God says, when we're in agreement with what he said, then we see those things come to pass. He spoke the worlds into existence. Spoke it. What are you speaking into existence? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Are we speaking life or death? Cindy just caught me in something when I was in Singapore. And she said, "Oh, you're so negative." And I thought, "What are you talking about? I didn't say anything negative." She said, "Well, it's not that you're negative saying anything bad. It's just you said the statement of what just happened without attaching, but God. What God can do with that circumstance. It leaves what happened in a negative place. Just even speaking the situation as it is not a good thing. We need to attach what God can do to that thing." She checked me, and I'm glad she did. Because after she said it, then I saw it. Yeah, I just let that thing fall. Well, we can change things. Amen? He's given us power. He's given us authority. There's part of our inheritance is the authority that was lost in the fall. Man was to rule and reign in the earth, right? He created us, and he says, "Now you take charge." We were supposed to, from the beginning of creation, be in charge of this earth, and we were to rule and reign. But when we fell, we submitted to Satan. So he became the God, not big God, little God, G-O-D, of this world. He took position. He took leadership. Because we submitted in sin. Well, guess what? When we submit in sin, who's Lord? Yikes. We need to check up on ourselves. Amen? But we've been redeemed. All authority was bought back through the blood of Jesus. Everything was returned and restored back to mankind if we would accept it. And what was it? With the name. The name of Jesus. We've been given the name above all names, the name that everything has to bow and submit to, the name of Jesus. God the Father said, because of his obedience, because of what he's done, his name is above every name. And now Jesus comes and he says, now you take my name. You go. You preach. You cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick. You take my place and you go in my name. We're ambassadors. We represent him. I've only met one ambassador. He was in Ghana. And I went to his home. It wasn't a mud hut. It was a far cry from that. I mean, there were gold things, and there were planters and flowers and huge tables, and everything was high class. Why? Because he represented Ghana. He was an ambassador for Ghana. Ghana wanted to show their best. So the ambassadors that represent Ghana, they shine. I'm assuming it's that way with every country when they represent their country. They want their country to shine because they represent. We represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When an ambassador goes from Ghana to the country he's sent forth to represent Ghana, guess what? He's provided. His transportation is provided, his food's provided, anything that he has need of, it is provided for him. He's not lacking for anything. Amen. Well, do you think your Heavenly Father, do you think as ambassadors for Christ, do you think we should be provided for? Do you think we are provided for? He's declared in Old Testament he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that sees ahead what the need is. He meets that so that by the time you come to that place, it's there. Yeah, but I don't see it. What are you saying? Yeah, but I don't see it. What are you saying? What are we saying? My God shall supply all of my needs. I refuse to lack for anything because he said I would not. So, Lord, I know you've got it on the way. There's people that have gotten themselves into trouble financially. There might need to be some repentance and sales that go with that. I have no idea. That's between you and God. But God can turn things around in a heartbeat. He can take a submissive, yielded heart, and he can turn that thing and get it positioned just right to where all the blessings of heaven are poured out. Do we expect that? Do we truly expect that? That God is moving on our behalf? That he cares about every aspect of our life? That he's going to meet every need that we have. Do we believe it? Oh, he's a good God. He withholds no good thing. Are there things you have need of good? Were you desiring snakes and spiders? He withholds no good thing. From those that walk upright. You guys walking upright? Amen. We're seeking him, right? Your heart, you wouldn't be here if you weren't walking upright. I didn't say walking perfect. I said walking upright. Right? Our heart is set in that direction and we're moving towards him. As he deals with us, as he convicts us, because that's part of the Holy Ghost job. Convict us. Convince us of righteousness, convict us of sin. That's his job. So we'll know on the inside, he's speaking through his son. the Spirit of the living God on the inside. He's speaking. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. What are we going to do? And the Holy Ghost will catch you when you say something that's not right, when you go somewhere that's not right. There's a hesitation there. You try to do it and you think, oh, and then sometimes we push past, and that's when we get in trouble. But when we follow that leading of the Holy Spirit, He'll gently prompt us. He's not going to get out the sledgehammer and start beating on us. He's a gentleman. The decision is all ours. He's going to speak to you. He's going to make it plain. But it's up to you. It's up to me whether or not we're going to yield to the voice of the Spirit of God and we're going to go with what He has to say. But always know this. Whatever He has to say, if there's something in your life that He's speaking to you about to change, you're not going to give up one thing that's going to hurt you. If there's something in your life that God's speaking to you to change, it's not going to cost you. It's going to pay. There's rich dividends in following the Lord. You might have to lay something down, but the outcome is tremendous. Amen. Hallelujah. I laid down drugs and drinking. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my flesh had to submit. I quit smoking. That was a hard thing. My flesh had to submit. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives us His grace to do what we need to do. I can do it. I can conquer the cookie jar. Helps if I don't fill it up. But I can do it. So he made the worlds. And then verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory. We're talking about Jesus here. Being the brightness of His glory. And I looked that up just to see what it is. And in the Strong's it says that is an off flash, an effulgence, a brightness. What is an effulgence? It's a radiant splendor or brilliance, giving off blinding radiant rays of light. Effulgence is brightness taken to an extreme. You may be dazzled by it, stunned by it, or even overcome by it. Usually it refers to the sun or some other megastar. Well, I'd say Jesus is a megastar. Yeah. Amen. But at the tail end of this scripture here, it says, and behind the brightness, and being the brightness of the glory and the express image of His person. Now, I had seen this coin that Jeff had that was 900 years old, or it had been stamped. It was a Roman coin, and it had been stamped. And every one of them had the same image. Everyone that's ever been created had the same image. Jesus was the image of the Father. What you want to know about the Father, you look at Jesus' life, and He carried it out. He carried out the Father's will 100%. Amen. He was moved with compassion. That was the Father's compassion. Amen. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That was the Father's heart. Jesus never did anything or said anything unless the Father revealed it to Him to do it. Well, Jesus is our example. He's speaking through his Son. He's speaking through the Son for us today, that we follow the same example that Jesus followed. The Father and Jesus were one. Let's see if I find this scripture quick. Well, let me just back up. I'm going to give you another scripture. And then we'll jump ahead. First, an image, when it's talking about that in the Greek, it talks about character. It's an engraving, a figure that is literally stamped or engraved. It's an exact copy. So Jesus is the exact copy of the Father. And Romans 8:29 in the NIV, it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." He was the example. He was the firstborn. Amen. Now, the amount of people to receive Jesus weren't predestined, because there's that doctrine that tells you that only, you know, only if God called you then can you be saved, and that's not true. Any heart that moves towards God, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth Christ Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. But what is predestined is to be conformed, those that he foreknew. What does that mean, he foreknew? He saw the end from the beginning. He knows every single one that will ever come to Jesus, not because they were handpicked by him, but because he can see and he knows the future. So he foreknew those. But what's predestined is that they be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. That we be conformed to the image of his Son. What does that mean? The exact copy. The radiance, the effulgence, the glory coming from us. Is that possible? Christ in you. This is my favorite scripture in case you haven't figured it out yet. Colossians 1:27. That Christ in you. That's the Father's hope. That's the hope of glory. That's what he's holding his faith on. Christ in you. Christ in you. He's in you. In all of his glory. In all of his power. In all of his might. In everything he is. Everything he's ever said and done. He has put his spirit. He has put his love on the inside of us. Part of our inheritance is peace. He's put that there. Yeah, but I can't. I'm just a wreck. That's because you're not yielding to the peace that's there. That's because you're with your mind going after all these things, trying to figure out what you can do. Well, bottom line, there's sometimes nothing we can do. Hallelujah. And what happens when there's nothing you can do in a situation? It puts you on miracle territory. Amen. When you finally let go and you say, okay, God, I'm going to have to trust you. It's come to that. I'm going to have to trust you. Yes. Amen. You can trust him. He is not a man that he can lie. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't play games. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's constant, he's stable, he doesn't have bad days. Amen. He's the same. You can count on him. Aren't you glad? I mean, he put a standard in the Word of God that a good man will swear to his own hurt and change not. What does that mean? Well, that means I made arrangements with somebody to go clean their garage with them. Oh, hallelujah. And then my sister-in-law invites me to go to lunch, and she's going to buy me a new purse. Oh, hallelujah. Now, a good man does what?
Cleans the garage.
Cleans the garage. Swears to his own hurt. I gave you my word. I'm going to do that. I'll be there. Did it cost me to hold to my word? Yeah. But whenever you give something up for God, you're not the loser in the deal. You might not see the same. Maybe I missed out on the lunch and the purse and the good time of fellowship. Maybe that was the case. But God restores everything. He's got a way of coming in and blessing you big time when you're not looking. And you don't have to figure it out. But that's where all anxiety and frustration and aggravation and everything comes from is we're trying to figure it out. And we're trying to put all this pressure on ourselves and putting all these self-induced deadlines and heaping all this on us when we don't need to. We need to just relax. Okay, God, I've gone as far as I can. I'm going to pray, I'm going to wait on you, and I'm not going to take another step till you tell me what to do. Amen. Saves a lot of backtracking. Amen. He helps us. He helps us all the time. You know, that's one thing that I recall hearing from Cindy constantly. As she'd be talking about something that she's got to do, something that's coming up, something new that she's never done before, something they've got to change, all these different dilemmas that keep coming up constantly in their lives and ministry. And almost invariably she'll say, but God help me. He helps me. He always helps me. I heard it and heard it and heard it. What is she doing? She's stating, oh, that's obvious. Why would you say something like that? Why? Because it keeps it right here. My God is always helping me. He's always going to help me. He always has helped me. It keeps it in your thought life. It keeps it in your heart. It continues to keep the expectation. You are not out there alone. We're not in this thing. We're just not out here alone. He is dwelling and living on the inside of us, empowering us every step of the way. Amen. He wants to radiate his glory in and through us. Amen. The power of the living God. You know, over and over in the scriptures, we see Jesus when he entered a place. And the power was with him. And the glory was with him. Is he our example? Where did he get his power and glory from? Because he was a man. Remember? He emptied himself. He laid aside his deity. Everything that he could do as God got set aside. He came. He functioned as a man. Dependent upon God to speak to him. To lead him, to direct him, to empower him, to give him wisdom. Everything, he functioned as a man. If we can grab hold of this truth, it's going to help us all just jump up to a higher level. Because he didn't tell us to do something that he didn't do or make a way for us. He had to depend on hearing from God. And he only did what he showed him. He only said what he heard. Amen. He lived it for us. And he says, we have the opportunity now. We can go. We can do. Just like he did. Amen. Not left as orphans. John 6:38 says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 5:19, if Jesus didn't do his own will, do you think sometimes your will is going to be interrupted? Think it might get diverted You might have to say, okay. John 5:19. The Son does nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, he does. The Son does in like manner. Does nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Christ's dependence on God brought great power and great glory. Our dependence on God will do the same. What they were talking about, becoming more and more aware of the presence of God. When we're talking about this, it's right along the same line. The more aware you are of him. Well, here's a question that, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? This is John 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Looking at his life and the benefit and the outcome of what he did and what he said, the miracles that took place, we can believe it. Most assuredly, this is verse 12, I say to you, he who believes in me, how many we got here? You believe in him? Okay. The works that I do, he will do also. Do you believe that too? Some of you aren't so sure. See some blank stares on a few faces. This is the word of God. Does God lie? Has he set a standard here? And what is that standard? That we're supposed to do the same. We're supposed to do the same. The works that I do, what works did he do? The works of the Father. The works of the Father were what? Casting out devils. Blind eyes opening. Lame walking. Amen. Pointing people to Jesus. To God. Revealing his goodness. Multiplying the fish and the loaves. Meeting needs. Amen. The works that I do. I know Robin Grigsby was involved in one of those deals. She was in a country, I can't remember which one. And they were doing a feeding program. And they look in the truck and they look at the people and they think, there is no way this is going to meet the needs of these people. But they kept going back in the truck. And they kept going back in the truck. And every time they went back in the truck, there was more. And every single person was met. And we're talking within the last 10 years. Not in Jesus' day. Amen. The works that I do, you shall do also. Why? Because the greater one is in us. And we're living in the end days. And God is speaking through his Son. And the Son of God is evident or not in his people. So part of who he's speaking to in these last days is when people look at you. There's some people that say, well, I'd never go to a church because you see this and you see that. The world's looking. They're looking. What are they looking for? They're looking for answers. They're looking for truth. They're looking for, is this stuff real? They have a standard. Some of their standards are higher than some Christian standards. Because this is how you're supposed to live. They'll tell you. Those that are outside the church. I'm not going to that church because they do this and they do that. They're looking to you. He's speaking in the last days through his Son. And if we declare Jesus Christ is Lord and that the Spirit of the living God is inside of us, then they're looking at you and they're looking at me. So do you think we ought to deliver some goods? Right? Think the love of God that's on the inside of us is of any value or any worth? I would say that that's probably where I've fallen the shortest my life. And where I see myself fall into that is when I get busied, when I get too hurried to stop to help, to take a minute to talk to somebody, to put my arm around and embrace somebody, to take 5 minutes out to call and say, I care, I love you, I'm thinking of you. In end days, they run to and fro. Think we're in the end days? It's waxing worse and worse. The invention of the cell phone, hallelujah. Internet, be there, know it, do it, and it's expected of us. Well, we need to stop and hear from him and do that. Do like Jesus did, only what the Father. Amen. We need to sharpen up a little bit. Hone ourselves. Because God is, he's looking. He's looking for people that are ready and willing. Amen. It's the willing and obedient. You can be obedient and just do it religiously, and there's no blessing on that. But it only takes about 2.3 seconds to become willing. Just a little adjustment on the inside. And sometimes we slip over into religion and we don't even realize it. We're praying because we ought to pray. We're in the Word because, you know, I need to get in the Word. We go to church because, well, a lot of people don't. But why do we go? If it's because we feel like we ought to, or we have to, or because we're Christians, then guess what? We've missed something. We need not be in dead religion. That's exactly what Jesus was the hardest on, is getting into religious ruts. But what we need to do is yield ourselves because we love him. I want to spend time with you, God, because I love you. I want to worship you, not because it's this time in the service, but because I love you. I want to pray because it's time with you, Lord. I want to get quiet before you because I want to hear from you, Lord. Because I love you. Love has got to be the motivating factor in us if we want to get out of religion at all. I never thought coming out of, I was raised religiously, and I thought when we got in the charismatic church, I would never see that again. I'm surprised at how it can easily slip in and trip us up. So who can change that? Yep. Fingers go this way. It's me, it's you. Amen. But I think all we're going to get through is those three verses, really. We didn't even get through them all. Let me finish this. Let me just start at the beginning. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. He can't lie. If he lied, everything, the planets would drop, the stars would fall. It says he's upholding all things by the word of his power. You want to know if you can trust the word of God? There's proof right there. Man can lie, but God cannot. You can trust him. If it's in his word, if it looks like all hell is breaking out around you, you hang on to that word. God, this is your word. I believe your word, and I'm going to hold to your word. And I don't care what's going on around me. I don't care what anyone else is doing. I believe your word, and I believe it's true, and I'm going to see it come to pass. That's a dog-determined faith that we have to have. It's just you and God. Because when it comes right down to it, when you're in the midst of something that you're going to have to overcome and triumph, it's you and God. People can encourage you. They can bring strength. They can bring their supply of the Spirit. But bottom line, when no one else is there, no one else is around, it's you and God. And what are you going to do? What am I going to do? We're going to have to trust on the character of our God, who is faithful and cannot, will not ever lie. Everything around us is being upheld because of his faithfulness, his character, his word. We can trust him. He's so good. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, they're gone. Hallelujah. Where are your sins? Are they sitting in your face? If they are, they're in the wrong place. Because he says they're gone. He purged them. Amen. He got rid of them.
Yes.
Amen. If you've got something sitting in your face saying, you sinner, you liar, you this, you that, you other, if you've repented, 1 John 1:9 is not written to the lost. It's written to the church. And what does it say? If you do what? If you confess your sins, that's your part. What's his part? He is faithful. Getting right back to that same character trait. He's faithful to do what? Forgive and cleanse. It's gone. It's washed away by the blood. It paid the price. It's gone. If it keeps coming up in your face telling you something, then you just say, out of here. No. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I don't care what I did. And your past can be 10 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? There's things in my past that are decades ago. There's things in my past that might have been a day ago. And if I dealt with it, it's under the blood and I am clean. And if the enemy tries to put it in my face again and condemn me with that, condemnation is not from God. Conviction is. Conviction is the Holy Ghost. It's a gentle prompting that says, hey, you got to get that right. The devil, he'll just beat on you and wear you down and make you feel as though I'm never going to measure up. I did that years ago. when I first was saved, when I was 15 years old, and I had given everything up except for cigarettes. Oh, that was a hard thing to overcome. And when I was walking this walk, I was in love with God, I was in the Word, I was doing everything that I could do. There were some hindrances that limited me a bit with the, because I was a teenager living at home with my folks and they weren't in agreement. But I walked away from God. I walked away from that because I kept hearing, "You're just a second-rate Christian. You'll never measure up." Why? Because I was smoking. "You're just second-rate." Is that coming from my God? He declares, "I'm good, I'm right, I'm holy, I'm pure." Amen. But I heard that, and I bought that lie that I'm not good enough and that I'll never measure up. And you know what I did? Walked away from God. And then I really messed my life up. Really made some poor choices. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Just cast away your confidence, which the Word says don't do that. There's great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't walk from God. You need to run to Him. If there's anything that in your life that is troubling you, then you need to run to Him as fast as you can. You need to say, "Jesus, forgive me." You know how long it takes Him? An instant. And it's right with Him and you. He loves you. He loves me. Well, I think I got 4 more messages in this. Sorry. Oh, I still got to finish the scripture. Let me get through the scripture anyways. "When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high." Now, He's done everything. He's delivered everything. He's given us everything. He gave us... we're not lacking for anything. Whatever we have need of, He's given. Do you need strength? Do you need wisdom? Do you need healing? Do you need finances? Do you need deliverance? Do you need peace? He's already delivered it. He's already paid the price. His blood was sufficient. His life was sacrificed. He bought it and He delivered it. So we just grab hold. And sometimes when you're going through difficult things, it's like every second you're having to grab hold. Having to grab hold. And you don't let go. You hang on to Jesus. You grab hold and you hang on to Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we get these quick fixes and we're good, but sometimes when there's things hitting us from every angle, we need to grab hold and we need to hang tight and we need not let go and we need to look at eyeball to eyeball. Amen. And just yield and submit, surrender. God, every step. Every step. Because the whole world is waiting. They're groaning. They're calling out for the sons of God to be revealed. All of creation, it says, is groaning. All of creation is waiting to see what we're really all about. That the manifestations of the sons of God be revealed. That you and me be seen as we truly are in light of that hope and that glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. praise you, Father God. I just want to just take a second and we'll just pray. Pray where you are. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just thank you. Oh, we thank you for your goodness and your provision. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all that you've given unto us. And we just yield our hearts right now, Lord God. Show us what we need to do, what we need to pick up, what we need to yield to, where we need to go. Every step of our life, Lord, we want ordered by you. There's something we need to lay down, something we need to pick up. We want your glory manifest in our lives. We want your love evident to others. And we thank you that we have opportunity to live in this day and hour with your precious Holy Spirit leading us, helping us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us.